Good evening, everyone. Good evening. You've tuned in to Paradigm Shifters. I love our guest tonight is going to be a wonderful paradigm shifter, somebody who's making a huge difference in the collective of our species at this time, during the time of the Great Shift. Oh, my name is Veronica Entwistle, but my guest tonight is Ginger Matreau, who's channeling Galexis. Welcome to the show again, Ginger. I'm glad to talk to you again.
Oh, it's great to be here.
And we're going to talk about love tonight, aren't we?
Oh, yeah.
And anything else. I was saying, what were the last subjects we went through? And as Bob said, well, Galexis has a lot of subjects, and I think they all come up.
They have a way of doing that.
Well, we love that part. So let's talk to you for a few minutes. You've been doing these programs called Love and Healing?
Yes. Every week we do a Love and Healing workshop. It's an opportunity for people locally to come and get juiced up once a week. Galexis points out that people need to have regular juice up. And many of us in the alternative spiritual community don't have those really regular juice ups. We don't get ourselves cleared of the weights that we carry of other people and the stresses of dealing with physical plane reality and so on. And we don't, many of us at least, don't find a juice up when we go to a church or a synagogue or a temple or something, because a lot of times that's for inspiration. But we need, because we are leaders, because we're spiritual leaders, we need more. Mm-hmm. And so Galexis put together this series specifically for those of us who need to have a sense of amplification of our energies, of juicing up of our power, of our energy, of our mobilization, of our motivation, and really getting us healed of all those things that we carry that we use to, undermine ourselves or sabotage ourselves or whatever. So every week, Galexis has a little talk about something that's very pertinent about, some beautiful topic, and does a healing for people for whatever their problems are in relationship to the topic, and it seems also that they will bring in this vortex and they will utilize it to broadcast your new program, your new patterns out there to the world, so that you can see the manifestations of it. So it's about healing yourself on all different levels, and also opening to receive. So it's been a really good one. To receive.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Right. We had one called Money Magic, and whoa, was that intense. Calling dollars, and so we were just kind of calling money and opening people's receiving channels, and Galexis helps do that. And what the wonderful thing is about this is that it keeps people up so much they get into a momentum of success with it. And we have so many wonderful stories of people who are healing and having greater success than ever. And what we wanted to do is to make it available to everybody. So it is available by subscription of audio file, and every week people who subscribe will get the audio file of the whole workshop that they can download to their computer, listen to anytime or re-listen however they want, and they can get the same juice up.
Oh, well, that sounds wonderful. I guess we'll have to keep tuning in. I have a few directions I'm trying to follow at once. But one time we came down to L.A. and experienced one of the healing evenings. It was absolutely wonderful. And then there was this tremendous light download. Is that kind of thing going on as well?
Well, we don't do, Galexis doesn't do those big downloads every time. Mm. Because so many already are in motion that they've done. And so these downloads really are unfoldments of realities that occur over several months. So
the same thing can't happen over and over.
So they don't do downloads on the same topic, over and over. So, like recently they just did a download, and I'm not quite sure exactly what that was now. I tend to forget a lot of this because I'm in trance, but... they only do it maybe about, you're really fortunate to come in on a download, but they're all recorded and they're all they all work.
Wow.
You know,
on the audio files,
they work too. So people can get these downloads. Some of the downloads are for love. Some of the downloads are for financial, you know, all sorts of spiritual awakening. I think one of them was for to understand the oneness and to experience the divine.
Oh, wow.
You know, all these kinds of things. So they're downloads on that.
Great. So you must be having fun with all of this.
I am. I'm just
your hair's blowing straight back and all this growth.
Yeah, it's been a huge, huge acceleration. But then, you know, Galexis will talk to you about the acceleration. There's
Great.
Just big acceleration going on.
Yeah, and what do you think? I guess we'll ask Galexis, but we're thinking about the Egyptian situation as well, and it really feels like it's an acceleration embodiment of an acceleration, isn't it?
Yeah.
Galexis talked a lot about that, and will they speak about it tonight?
Well, yeah, if you ask, they'll be happy to.
Great. Well,
I'm sure they have some interesting opinions on this that we haven't maybe considered.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, they always give us a different perspective, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it seems like it's a very good omen that there's something big like that happening right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's all about the time of love, too. I wanted to talk about love tonight only because it's Valentine's time, but also when you talk about receiving, all of that is pertinent, isn't it? It's about the receiving
and
love
go
together.
Yeah, it really is. This is the time. Mm-hmm.
And you said Galexis is really big on learning more self-love, right?
Yeah. So let's let Galexis talk about that then.
That's good. So it's good to talk to you, Ginger.
Yeah, good to talk to you too. And your audience is just a wonderful audience.
Thank you.
I know from various feedbacks I get.
Well, and a lot of them have been accessing you in the archives again, too, so
I know
looking forward to tonight.
Well, yeah. there are some really good shows in there.
Yeah, well, we've been having fun, haven't we?
Yeah.
A lot of growth, a lot of fun,
and
a lot of
And you've been
laughter.
Doing all sorts of things. It's been really fun trying to catch up with you.
We'll do that again soon.
All right.
All right.
Okay, well, I'll head on out then.
Good girl, thanks.
All right. Bye. All right, we are here.
Oh, hello, good evening. How glad we are that you're here.
Oh, well, thank you for welcoming us, and it's a pleasure for us to be here again, speaking with you and your beautiful friends.
Yes, thank you so much. So we're hoping tonight to talk about love and anything else. I was just talking to Ginger about that, and I guess I immediately threw us into the political situation of Egypt, and is it evidence, it seems like it's evidence of a rising frequencies of love and expansion?
Well, yes, it's the acceleration that we call the light chaos.
Aha.
The acceleration from the dark to the light, okay? And it goes through this center point of identification, which is the knowing the self. And
okay.
Even in a mundane context, such as politics and so forth, there is a sense of understanding who one is in relationship to other things and determining what one as an individual or as a group needs in order to move forward into the light. And so it's been pretty evident in the Arab world, that how much of the abuse and so forth has relied upon a very docile, quiet population. It was generally easy to split them up and get them focused with anti-Western sentiments and that kind of thing. But the abuse to their own people is finally kind of kicking back at them, and because the people themselves saying, "Wait a minute, here's who we are. We're the people." You know, and we have a right to be heard, and we're tired of being squashed. And just that sense of expanding their spirit, expanding their possibilities of who they could be, just sets off like ignites a fire, just creates a wave, throughout their networks, through you know, now that even in Egypt and everywhere around the world now, there's like, you know, Facebook and you could Twitter everybody. And so, in a sense, they've got so much more connection. They can see that what they're feeling is a part of a grander picture that so many others are. No longer do they feel isolated. This is one of the advantages of the Internet, you know. So now they're standing up and saying, wait a minute, you've got to listen to us. We're angry. You got to hear what we have to say. And you know that human race is not trained to, no one is trained, actually, to handle an argument fairly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, most everyone will take it personally, go into defense. It'll be an attack. It'll be a battle. It'll be a fight. And somebody will come out the victor, and that person will be right.
Right.
And that's, and most every argument that ever, ever was boils down to who's right and who's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's the essential bottom line of conflict. It's an old paradigm, and it doesn't address what's really necessary is you just got to listen.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to hear the other person. The way to absolutely eliminate these senses of conflicts is to understand that different points of view and different needs and so on are not a condemnation of each other. It's not an attack. And so even though the people have been speaking up and trying to get some attention for a while, they've been ignored, they've been dissed, they've been mistreated, and so it makes a person angry. And it's logical for them to get really angry. They have a lot of feelings of powerlessness, so they go into rage because of all this chaos that's been going on the planet in general. That terror and rage are right up at the surface. People are feeling terror. Oh, my gosh, what's going to happen to the planet? What's going to happen to me and my family? Oh, what's going to happen? And then there's the rage. It's like, I'm so angry. I'm so upset. I'm so frightened. And I'm so upset that I'm powerless about it. It feels overwhelming. I don't know what to do about it. I have nowhere to express this. I have nowhere to put this energy.
When it's like that, isn't it amazing that so many hundreds of thousands could be together, and mostly there wasn't much bloodshed. And
there wasn't mostly. It actually, since the government will tend to take it as an attack, you know, any kind of demonstration, and try to close it down, as soon as they try to do that, to suppress it further, that's when they get into really big trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's when the powerless rage will burst into violence, because how else can they express their anger? How else can they be heard?
Do you think it's going to be going in that direction?
Well, it's got to go through some of that. Their,
mm-hmm.
their anger and their rage has got to be heard. And right now, government is kind of pretending to hear, but not really.
Mm-hmm.
And so
that's the scary part, yeah.
And that's the scary part, because you don't really know, you know, where that's leading. But overall, the coalition at the top, at the top of the government, is not just the political leaders. That's who everybody focuses on. But it's really on the network between those top political leaders and the multinational corporations that support them financially.
Right. That's
and
the
so
big
it's
problem, isn't it?
It's like, you know, they get kickbacks from, you know, oil companies. They get this. They get, you know, it's just all of that type of thing. So they have to somehow or another, the leaders have to play into that arrangement. They have to make sure that they still have that arrangement, that support that they get. You know.
But, you know, we'd always heard that there was a dissemblement of these big systems. Is that still possible, or is that not going to happen?
Well, the dissemblement is actually happening, but what it's doing is happening erratically, irregularly. It's happening to individuals all around the globe. This process of change has started on an individual basis. And if you and all your listeners notice, it's happened in your life. You found that you're dismantling a lot more of the old, all the stuff that's gone before. That's the dark chaos, the stuff that has held you, that's trapped you, that's terrified you. It's in a sense you've had to address it. You've had to address a tremendous amount of changes, tremendous amount of readjustment, perhaps financially, perhaps even a lot of people are losing their homes. They have to find new places to live, new jobs, new whatever, and it's tough right now. So there's a lot of resettlement that's going on. That's part of the dark chaos. But in there somewhere is a recognition that you the individual, have to find who you are, because otherwise you're lost.
Mm-hmm.
You have to, in some way, pull yourself together, and you have to know who you are. Otherwise, you don't know what you're doing, where you're going, and what to do about it.
So it's an personal empowerment.
So basically, it kicks in through mm-hmm. a kind of a heavy, kick-ass school of growth, as we call it. It forces a lot of people back into themselves to figure out who they are,
mm-hmm.
because they've lost all the structures. Right now, this is happening individually all over the place. It's even
right.
happening in people who don't have, you know, financial challenges. It's happening in relationships. It's happening in every structure or form in which there is a sense of order and structure that is aligned with control, manipulation, domination, or any kind of avoidance of feeling, avoidance of being real, any kind of facades, and all those kinds of things are all kind of tumbling. That's the dissemblement. It's happening in people.
Is it happening in those beings in the, for example, military-industrial complex or the huge corporate conglomerate financial?
It's starting to happen there. Absolutely, it's starting to happen. But those structures cannot come down until the individuals, there's enough individuals who've made the shift. Because you mm-hmm. see, after the dissemblement, and a person kind of puts themselves together and remobilizes themselves to go onward, they can step forward into what we call the light chaos. And this time that we are in now, if everyone notices, there's just been this acceleration. Everything's kind of picking up speed, right? Now,
sure
you can look at it on the esoteric level, is that time itself, which is an illusion. But the illusion of time, and this has to do with some of the electromagnetic fields of the planets and how they're interacting and so on, actually there's this sense of time speeding up.
Hmm.
Okay, and there's an acceleration of impact, of actions. There's like less time between the action and its impact, right? And so the time is getting more and more compressed. So you learn things faster because as you try out something, as you explore something, take an action, the results of that action come back to you much faster. So you have to integrate a lot faster and respond a lot faster. And so that's
why a lot of people have to have ADD, isn't it? Because it's short attention span, which is the length of time the dramas take these days.
Absolutely. And that's why they say that if you're going to do an advertisement, you have to get the person really caught, their attention caught, within 4 seconds or you've lost them.
Oh, wow.
Okay, you got 4 seconds. That's it. So so in a sense, the people are so stressed by all this fragmentation and all these different pieces and all the different possibilities that the only way to make sense of it is to be strong in themselves, to find out who they are. And, of course, that brings us to the topic that we're talking about, is that loving yourself and knowing what that means will absolutely calm down this craziness inside you, the individual,
mm-hmm.
you see. And then you start to have a clearer idea about where you're going. Now, once you have that clear idea and you have a sense of yourself and you have a sense of motivation, a true sense of motivation, not a motivation out of fear or a motivation out of guilt, right,
mm-hmm.
but an motivation out of choice.
Mm-hmm.
If you can take your power and make your choices in that power, then you can enter the light chaos and you will have impact. You will have more impact. So the time is coming now where individuals are going to stand up and say, hey, listen to us. Listen to us. You've noticed that the Tea Party members, you know, they were
mm-hmm.
out there, you know, with slogans and banners and hollering and screaming and so on and saying, listen to us. We're angry. We don't want to take it anymore. And it was important to listen to them. It is important to listen to them. Now,
mm-hmm.
the left wing needs to do it, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people, any people who have anger and they've been holding it back or they've been, left wingers, you know, the liberals, feel like it's not appropriate to do that kind of thing. That's very immature and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But they're seething, too.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's the people that are coming into their own that are going to stand up and they're going to say, stop. They're going to say to all these big corporations, stop your abuses or we'll boycott your products.
Hmm.
You see, there's a lot more awareness.
Fierce, does it?
Hmm?
That doesn't sound very fierce, does it? We're going to boycott your products. Pardon
well,
me,
that's where the power is of the corporations. That's where the power to oppress you is.
Hmm.
As long as they can keep you numb by watching TV and being more concerned about what celebrity is doing what, you know,
mm-hmm.
and watching nice football games, you
mm-hmm.
know, and The Biggest Loser and all the reality shows, and they can get you caught up in these kinds of things.
They sure can.
They can distract you and entertain you, and you won't rebel. You
mm-hmm.
won't stand up and say, wait a minute. Instead of watching TV tonight, I'm going to go out and I'm going to send emails to every one of my friends about the abuse that Monsanto is doing.
I was just going to ask you about Monsanto. How did they get away with that alfalfa thing? They're allowed to, they've deregulated so that Monsanto can do
right.
what it wants.
Right. This is a theme that the corporations have actually hijacked. They've hijacked
mm-hmm.
the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
The corporations and the U.S. business, Commerce Department,
mm-hmm.
Chamber of Commerce are really fronts for corporations. So what they do is that they take the, they say, you know, we are you, and if you regulate us, then all your products are going to be more expensive. It's going to be tougher for you, and these jobs are going to go overseas. So you've got to support us. You've got to let us be deregulated so we can do what we need to do to make a profit. And then, and this goes back to the Reagan trickle-down, you know, theory, it'll
mm-hmm.
trickle down to all the other layers of society. Well, we found out that that didn't work.
Yeah.
All right? So, but the point is that the image of deregulating a big corporation has been reframed into looking, it is by the Republicans mainly, into looking to be favorable to free enterprise. And they've hoodwinked the American people into thinking that.
I know, and I just don't understand why people aren't more angry. You already said it, because of the
media, they have,
numbing, the food.
They're all numbed out, but
mm-hmm.
it's the time is coming where people are coalescing. They are
mm-hmm.
coalescing their own fragments within themselves and becoming more unified, and they're saying, wait a minute, you know, I thought this was a government by the people and for the people, but it looks like it's a government by the corporations and for the corporations.
By the dollar, for the dollar.
Right, and they're making a profit, and they're still sending all the jobs overseas. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm going to rebel. I'm going to stand up and say something. And if there's a certain point at which the intensity of the need to express and the power of the self comes together, where it goes over that line where the person feels this whole sense of, well, it's just futile to do that. It is just, it doesn't make any difference. I don't make any difference. I have no impact. I'm of no importance. And there's this line where most people stop and say, well, it's terrible and I don't like it, but there's nothing I can do. So I'm going to go back to my TV.
So what do you think about, like, as we evolve and as we learn about love and loving ourselves and so on, protesting and all of that seems awfully reactionary. I don't think a lot of us know quite what to do.
Well, the thing is that, yes, and this is really important, because if you react as in rebellion and resistance,
mm-hmm.
Then you're going to lose a lot of energy to them. You're giving
mm-hmm.
your opposition, you're giving the corporations even more energy.
Mm-hmm.
So what you want to do in loving yourself is to stand up and say, you know, this is an act of love. Is that you need to care and you need to be responsible for your impact. And that's one of the most loving things anyone can say to anyone.
Mm.
You must be responsible for your impact.
Hmm.
You see, what you do makes a difference.
And so we say that to Monsanto, for example?
Yeah, you got to say that to Monsanto. You got
so
to,
do we write letters?
And you got to drown the administration and mm-hmm. Obama and, you know, and say, what do you think you're doing? You know, stop doing that. Mm-hmm. And there's quite a few organizations on the Internet that will give you everything you need to send your email to your congressperson and that kind of thing. So that's a place to start.
And there's some wonderful petition sites as well.
Right. But the most important thing is to recognize that they're relying on the chaos to make your life so difficult and complicated that all your energies and attention will be into survival. So you mm-hmm. won't get on their case. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So loving yourself will mean that you'll take all this energy of internal conflict that you've had and so on, and it will be utilized for your energy, for doing things that you love, things that you want to do. Mm-hmm. And then you will have enough energy to stand up and yell and holler. And your anger and your rage needs to be heard, and it's mm-hmm. coming. There's a point, like we said, there's a line. When that line is crossed, people will go and stand in their light. They will demand, and they will claim and own a different reality, and they will demand it, and they will demand responsibility. They will mm-hmm. demand regulation for corporations that can respect the people that are further down in the ladder.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're keeping the ladder stretching so that it's a rarefied atmosphere for them, isn't it?
Well, yeah, there's always a tendency for the people at the top to want to get richer and the poor get poorer and create more of a gap. And the middle class is what really makes this country really great, makes it a first-level power.
So watching the Egyptian people, I keep saying, how come so many people aren't gathering here in America in such a way? Because the fraudulence or the lying has been revealed. Talk about the time of revelations. There's been so many revelations about how we're being duped here.
Well, like we said, it takes a person getting to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to then step over the line and realize they're a divine being in a spiritual body,
mm-hmm.
and a spiritual being in a physical body, rather, and they're divine. And they mm-hmm. are now able to recognize that the reality that they're in is an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
And not to make it so real that it's overwhelming, but it's an illusion, but it means that it's time for each individual as a divine being to decide what reality they really want to live in and to demand it. You know, and they'll come over that line where there's impact. Now, you can meditate, too.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not talking about prayer. Prayer by itself is nice, but action must be taken, too. One of the things that the channel does is that she puts protective mirrors around Monsanto. She's starting to do that now.
Oh, I see.
You can go to the website of any major corporation, and they will have pictures of their corporate leaders and the members of the board and all that, and they proudly show their leadership. And you can go in there and you can just put mirrors around each one. Now,
in your meditation, you mean?
Yeah, in meditations, and the mirrors, a big ball of mirrors, and the mirrors face inward. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what the mirrors do when they face inward, you instruct the mirrors. Okay, I'm putting you around the chairman of the board here. Okay, and
mm-hmm.
so anytime he wants to advocate and directs the company to do a policy that's going to destroy the ecology, is going to damage people, then this energy is negative and it will bounce and reflect from the mirrors back to him, and he'll have to be responsible for it.
It's like making a success cube get smaller and smaller, isn't it?
Well, it's basically saying you've got to be responsible for what you put out.
Right.
Now, it's a challenge because some of these people in these big corporations actually have a vision. And some of them really believe in what they're doing.
Right.
It's not like they're sitting up there around their conference table scheming to destroy the ecology anywhere or to destroy the Indian villages in the Brazilian rainforest. They're
mm-hmm.
not... They're having this big concept, and they're being run by this big concept, this big dream that they have.
Mm.
And even if it's a bad dream, it's still, for them, a light dream. And so the mirrors have to kind of bring them back to reality, bring them into looking at the impact of what they do, because they don't think about that.
Hmm. What about, I'm going to ask you a kind of a wildfire question in a way.
Why not? Which is,
exactly. So we hear that there are certain beings who are in big power way up there in the higher echelons who would just as soon see most of the humans die off. Is that just gossip or is that real?
Well, let's put it this way. There are people up there that are so much in their little ivory towers that all they see is people are just hassled because people will object or they will rebel or they'll cause problems. And I just want my reality to move along slowly, and these people are just people are in the way. So the less of them we have on the planet, the fewer people on the planet we have, the better. And that's their orientation. It's not necessarily, let's get rid of half the population. No, they really like the services and good and all the hard labor that they get out of the population. It's just that they don't like people. They're up there, they're liking concept, and they think that they're beyond, you know, the mundane. They're beyond everybody. And so, and they're up there in the power echelons. They're up there like the gods on Mount Olympus. And these humans, these mortals, are just causing problems.
We hope.
So let's just, you know, let's get rid of them. You know, let's just get rid of the opposition.
Yeah, that's really something that a lot of people talk about. I think you probably know that.
Right, but it's not so much a specific conspiracy.
Okay.
It's a sense of, well, these people who don't serve us, they should go. They should die. It's a very adolescent type of thing, you know,
yeah.
A black and white, you know.
So it's another thing in the Middle East. Do you think that there's going to be quite a wave of these responses that are going on in Egypt? Do you think there's going to be a wave through four or five other countries there?
Well, we kind of hope so. It looks like it at this moment. It looks like there's a lot of triggers. It's rippling around and so on. And, of course, all the leaders and the corporations over there are getting pretty uneasy.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll see how much they can set up in advance to block it. But they see the writing on the wall. They see, oh, gosh, you know, as soon as our population gets all excited, you know, then they're going to be on the Internet and on Facebook and Twittering each other and tweeting each other, and we're going to have all sorts of problems.
Let's
shut down the Facebook. Let's shut down this. Let's go ahead and cut that supply off. You know, so it's you can see how they're reacting. But
isn't it interesting that it is the time of the shift? This is the shift.
The shift. Actually, the shift that people are saying that was 2012 has already happened. And you know we've talked to you about that before, but it happened pretty much that particular alignment and the opening of the new frequencies pretty much happened right there in 2000 at the end of 2008, and it precipitated the great chaos that people are in now, the whole worldwide chaos. It was like part of the bringing. It's what kind of brought down that whole, you know, financial collapse brought it to all that craziness in the marketplace brought it down.
Isn't it interesting that Goldman Sachs has more money now than before all of that?
Well, of course, the corporations look after themselves. But they don't look after the people.
The reason that I'm scratching my head about it is like, I guess it was such an obvious duping that I'm thinking it's so brash and out there. I'm amazed.
Mm-hmm. You know? It is. It's amazing, and the American people should be absolutely righteously angry about it, and they're outraged. But people have been so outraged for so long, they're starting to get numb to it. But there is this whole shift that's happening individually, and it's accelerating. So people are coming faster and faster to their awareness of that they've got to take action for them, just out of love for themselves.
So it's like that big economic collapse was like a cracking of a whip, which is still resolving itself, maybe.
Well, it actually, the whole world has to go through the dark chaos. Then it has to go through the void. and then it can go into the light chaos.
The whole
world. Yes, the whole world's got to do this. This is part of the shift.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, that 2008 was the beginning of the shift. The shift will not be over for, gosh, you know, it's not going to be over at the end of 2012 by any means. It's not going to be over until you get into the 2020s. It'll be really over, and it'll be over to the other side. But the light chaos is where you pattern the new template, you see, and it's starting with individuals first.
Mm-hmm.
And then it will move into greater and greater, more regional, more national, more international context. But the people have to take it back, take back their power. And it requires education. It requires people to claim their freedoms. More and more freedoms have been taken away, so people have to claim them.
So where is the source of the education? Is it, of course, beings like you?
Everybody has an email list or some friends they can call. Everybody knows somebody.
Mm-hmm.
That's the education. The education is word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
The education is a groundswell. And education is to recognize you are not alone.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else is going through the same repressions and suppressions and so on. It's part of the journey that you as a human species chose to go through in order to let go of the old paradigm.
Mm-hmm.
And here you are, paradigm shifter that you are, right? The old paradigm of the male chauvinistic hierarchy of power.
Yeah.
And to reclaim on an individual basis an individual's power, freedom, love, and trusting the divine plan, you will not fail. You see, but there's this whole shift that's taking place, and you will notice that over the next year or so, the attitude of individuals is going to shift quite a bit, so that it'll be a lot clearer what to do when you object or when you're not rebelling, you're just standing up for yourself. You're standing up for the light.
And you're not fighting
the darkness. It's not an either or. It's not a conflict. You're hearing what they say, and you're saying, listen to us and hear what we say too. And we have the power. You know, if the people get together, they have the power. So,
and is that building up over 2012, or is it anything to do with 2012 now?
Well, 2012, because of all the focused attention on it, now has, in the collective unconscious, a tremendously big, huge cachet of energy there.
Oh, wow.
All right. It's
tsunami.
It's because people select that. They say, okay, this is when it's important. And so for a lot of people, it's going to be a big, important time. But the thing is that it's because a whole bunch of people pointed to it and say, this is the Mayan prophecy, you know, and even though the Mayans, bless their hearts, they were off in their prophecy a bit, but nevertheless, why not? Why not choose an arbitrary date and say this is the time? You know, it works just fine.
Well, they made their prophecy so very long ago. I suppose a few years here and there aren't really too big.
Right, it is remarkable how accurate they were. That they were only like 4 years off.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
All right.
So what do you think about the UFOs being seen at around the Temple Mount in Jerusalem and also around the pyramids with all of the excitement in Egypt?
Oh, this is part of it. This is part of it. This is the support of your light being friends. There's a tremendous amount of ET support happening right now on the planet, just tremendous.
Isn't that exciting?
And you talk with Jackie about it, don't you,
on our show? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But I just wondered what you thought about it, because people keep sending pictures of it and, you know.
Right.
Touching.
See, this is also something where its groundswell is going to say, listen to us. Listen to us. Stop making us children. Stop pretending you don't know. Come
mm-hmm.
on. We need openness in government. We need you to be real and truthful. It's part of that. It's part of this whole surge that's part of the Aquarian age, Jupiter going into Aquarius. You know, planets are moving into Aquarius. There's this whole shift of energy from the Saturnian Capricorn energy mode, which was really battling with the hierarchy and into the Aquarius, which is breaking things down and opening things up and mm-hmm. finding the what is the oneness. And that brings us to the theme of our show, isn't it? The mm-hmm. oneness, the love.
Mm-hmm. Yes, talk about the oneness. You hosted a oneness seminar, didn't you?
Well, the channel did.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That is the oneness training. It was to become a oneness blessing giver or a diksha giver.
Mm-hmm.
And for your listeners who are not aware of this, there are two twin master teachers in India. They still call them avatars over there, the original meaning of the term. They're a man and a woman who were born in destiny to meet each other and to form twin avatar or a combined destiny between the two of them.
Hmm.
And what they're doing is they're broadcasting this golden light of oneness and unity around the planet. Now, that may not in and of itself seem to be so unusual. There are a lot of people who are praying for the planet, sending light around the planet and so on. But these two have tremendous divine power of projection. So it is actually felt very strongly as a golden ball of light, you know. And so what they've discovered is that they can give this ball of light to others who can spread it to others, who can spread it to others, who can spread it, so on. And so they have a mission that by the end of 2012 that they have 70,000 enlightened people on the planet. They feel that that also will make that like hundredth monkey type of difference, you know.
Oh, that's wonderful, isn't it?
Now, what the experience is, the oneness blessing is that, the oneness blessing, when this gold orb descends into a person as part of the blessing and is transmitted to someone, what happens is that it shifts the way their brain functions.
Hmm.
And so they think differently.
Hmm.
And they receive differently, and they receive more. It's a healing. And it points out that so many people have difficulty in their thinking patterns and feeling patterns, and a lot of it is actually imprinted in the imbalance between the various lobes of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the ways it shows up. So it's a healing, physical healing of the brain at the same time. It calms mm-hmm. people's brains down. It calms people's minds down so they don't race around and get crazy as much. And it enables people to allow the flow of divine light come through them and so that they can begin to open to knowing that they, too, are divine. And this is the central theme of love. Love is actually the substance that the divine is made of.
Hmm.
You know, the whole universe is made of love. There's no evil or hate or anything that made this universe. It's the illusion of separation that creates all the darkness.
So it's love that's the foundation of the oneness.
The love, everything is love. And so mm-hmm. it's like you know, people who do energy healers, those of you who do energy healers, you know that when you remove a negative energy, you send it to the light, and it will transmute right back into light because it's originally light.
Mm-hmm.
It had originally, all illness and darkness in a person had originally a positive intention. But because of the separation and the unawareness of the person, that it gets twisted with the entrenchment of social dogma and ends up being very destructive.
Hmm. Well, tell me this. This is not a change of subject. I'm thinking of oneness, but also, aren't we getting an awful lot, aren't there great universal downloads of higher frequency energy? And I know that that's not simply love, but it is of that nature, is it not?
Well, it's a varying frequencies of higher frequency bands that humans have not heretofore been able to access.
Ah,
you see, there's this acceleration we're talking about is happening with every single human being. It's a consciousness acceleration.
Okay.
You know, nobody has any point of comparison, but if you were to suddenly jump into the mind or head space of a person from 100 years ago, you would be shocked at how little consciousness there was relatively,
mm-hmm.
how little awareness of yourself you had then 100 years ago. And so there's this whole sense of the greater awareness of yourself and the greater understanding and the greater opening, what it's doing is allowing greater these higher frequencies that before could not be received to now be received.
Mm-hmm.
And so, so
but aren't the downloads also in the increase or not?
Yes, they are. They are.
Mm-hmm.
Because the downloads don't come until you're ready for them.
Uh-huh.
You know, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. You know that old adage.
Yes.
It's the same thing with the down. The downloads come when you're ready, right?
Okay.
And when individuals are ready, they get downloads. So the leading individuals, the leading edge, the you know the cutting edge people, the first waivers as we call you, you're getting the downloads. Now, mm-hmm. not everybody's getting the downloads.
Oh, really?
No, no, but they're coming onto the planet, so they're available when anybody's ready for them, and that's when we do our downloads. We do an unfolding of with codes that enable a person to open up greater and greater so they can receive more and more downloads that come from this general source. Now, we say general source, but it's like it's because there's many, 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 many sources.
Mm-hmm.
There are many helping and providing the downloads. The downloads are not pushed on anybody. They're only mm-hmm. for those who are receptive and ready and want them, actually.
Are they, you know, are we calling them in because
yes.
they're receptive and ready, or are we just
you're calling them in anytime you desire to be more, anytime
mm-hmm.
you desire and yearn for greater love and greater light in your life. You're opening your heart, you're opening yourself to greater possibility, and this opens you up to higher frequencies. That's just
mm-hmm.
a part of human nature, actually. It's always mm-hmm. wanting to grow.
I love that part. So
mm-hmm.
some
it's
people,
nature.
This is sort of interesting to me that some people seem to be very stable and they're not going through any chaos at all. And they seem like to think that we're kind of bonkers over here.
mm-hmm.
And I sort of smile and I go, those are concurrent realities, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Now, those people who appear to be very stable, they're people for whom the mainstream consciousness was very much like home. They're
mm-hmm.
not like those first waivers who felt dissatisfied with the limitations of ordinary mainstream consciousness.
Yeah, how did I get here?
Right. They're like, what the heck? You know, what's going on?
I feel like an alien here, yes.
Yeah, I don't feel like I belong. I want more. I've got to, there's something, got to be something greater. So many of you remember somehow in your unconscious mind, you still have a connection, a memory to that so-called fabled Garden of Eden, which is really, you know, the better days of Atlantis and Lemuria, when you had the great visions and had the great dreams, and when you made the choice to come back and heal the planet and let the planet, you know, shift its course, spiritually speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And so you remember periods of harmony that are so phenomenal, and you remember the periods of spending time in the heaven worlds, in between lifetimes, as they call it, in the astral planes and sometimes the causal planes, where it's all bliss. Just total bliss, and everyone is loving and harmonious and happy, and just life is fabulous there. And they're yearning for that. I want to go there. I want to return. I want to return home. You know. And
but it's
people,
only a respite, right?
All right. The people who are seem to be stable and everything's going well, they don't have that call. They don't feel it. They don't feel it yet. You know, they will, but they don't feel it. Or maybe this is not a lifetime where they're going to feel it.
Well, and there's another thing then. I've been told, and a number of people have been told, it's almost like the world is going to be split in two, that there's people who have a certain intention and frequency, and they'll be in one, and the reality of the other one is so different that it's going to be harder for people to interact from one to the other.
Well, that's happening all the time.
That's just
There's many parallel realities going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you, as a growing person, as a changing person, the more you love yourself, the more you love others, the less you judge yourself, and less you judge others, the more rapid and more profound your shifts are from the reality you're in here to a parallel reality that's of more light.
Mm.
And it's just going on. It's going to be so gradual, people will not feel that they're looking through a glass wall and seeing people in the moving away in this other reality. Oh my gosh, how can we connect with them? It's not going to appear like that at all.
It'd just be like, oh, I haven't seen George for a while. It's like that.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that if we want to really talk consciousness here, it's kind of a mind blower, but when you split realities, you maintain an illusion of everybody that you know in your reality, even if it's split off.
Oh.
Even if you're in another reality, then if you haven't seen George in a long time, and you know, there's no objective reality. So you can call up George and say, hey, I haven't heard from you in a long time. And George, you know, George was not really very much into spiritual things and so on and whatever, and maybe even going downhill some. How are you doing? Are you doing okay? And whatever story you want will appear. Whatever story is consistent with the reality you're in now will show up.
So it's back to the whole everything being an illusion.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
Yeah. It's all whole, and as you heal, you the individual heal and honor the impact and the amazing value and significance that you are and that you hold in this great shift. You're not a little cog lost in a big machine. You're not an insignificant little nothing. You're not a serf. You know, you are a magnificent, empowered, free light being by virtue of your God nature.
Mm-hmm.
It's your birthright, you see. And this reality that you're in, as you honor yourself, will grow brighter and brighter and brighter. And there will be technology for healing that you just have no clue about now, because you will honor you. You will bring the divine in you out.
Mm-hmm.
And that means you have to let go of all guilt, all shame, all judgment.
Mm-hmm. All those limitations, because we are absolutely amazing critters, aren't we, when we let ourselves unfurl.
So many people judge. You know, it's tricky. Don't judge Monsanto, or you stick yourself. What you want to do is say to Monsanto, listen to me, this is not right. I don't think you ought to do that.
Mm-hmm.
This is, look at the impact of what you're doing. Look at what it can do. You are playing a big experiment for profit on people, and you don't have the tools to handle a problem if it backfires.
Mm-hmm.
If you develop a super weed that no pest control can take care of, no weed killer can take care of, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm. Be like the AIDS development, wouldn't it?
Right, it's just going to go all over the place, and it's taking over, you know, ecosystems. What are you going to do about it? Turn the other way? Say, well, I don't care. You know, you've got to be responsible for what you do, and you people have got to be able to say that without judgment. They've just got to be able to say it with truth and light and love.
Mm-hmm. That requires a really deep, deep sort of a bubble of self-love and balance, doesn't it?
Yeah, it requires a sense. It just requires an identification with the divine rather than an identification with powerlessness.
Wonderful. Well, I noticed that even though we haven't talked about love all the way through, we have in a way, and I realized that we have to be giving a Valentine to ourselves.
Mm.
Valentine's coming up, right?
Mm-hmm. Valentine's Day. How wonderful. And it would be so wonderful if your listeners could, giving a Valentine to themselves, not do it in the traditional way that comes from the kind of a development from the days of chivalry, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All right, this whole, which really in your social terms today is like an adolescent idea about love.
Right.
You want to look at it from a spiritual adult's point of view, that you as a divine being, on Valentine's Day, give yourself a gift. Drop all the judgments you have about yourself, that you haven't done enough, you don't love good enough, you haven't succeeded enough, performed good enough, you haven't made enough money, you haven't, you're behind, you've got to catch up, you're falling off the path, you're too heavy, you got to lose weight, you're this, you're that, blah, 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 blah. Give yourself a gift and free yourself of these self-limiting shackles. Give yourself a gift of freedom. It's the best, most loving thing you can do.
That's the greatest Valentine. It's a perfect time of year for this.
Yeah, and give yourself the opportunity to do something you want to do, or do nothing, and not feel guilty at all about it.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Now, would you like to give your website one more time and anything else you'd
All
like
right.
to say?
All right. Well, people can come and visit our website. It's GalexisSpirit.com. And when you go to the homepage, if you look on the upper left-hand corner, you'll see audio downloads, Love and Healing. And we suggest you go and browse amongst the titles because many of them are things that can really help you over your various issues, your various humps, and free you with the attunements that we do, with the meditations, with the cleansings, clearings, and healings that we do. Free yourself, you know?
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
But we recommend highly.
And, you,
and we recommend that you subscribe and get juiced up every week. That's what we do it for. We do it for you. We do it for the planet. We do it for your future. We do it for the generations to come. You know, we do it for the great shift. So participate.
How wonderful.
You know, and we don't want you to tire out. We don't want you to lose energy to the conflicts and to the stress. This gets you back on your feet. This gets you flowing again.
Wonderful. Well, I thank you so much. Really enjoyed our time together. There's so much to learn and share with you. It's great.
Well, it's always so much fun talking with you. We never know what topics we're going to move through, but they're always amazingly in-depth, and so we thank you for bringing these topics up, things that your listeners do need to hear. You know?
Good. Well, I'm sure we're going to get feedback, and much love to you, and happy Valentine's to us all, and to Ginger and to Daniel.
Absolutely, and our love goes with you as well.
Thank you.
All right.
Good night.
Farewell.
Good night.